For those of you out there, welcome to the Cultured Arcana podcast. The date is September the 15th. However, this podcast probably won't go up until the weekend, this coming weekend, which would be September 18th through the 19th.
Wicked awesome.
And I will probably edit this down to make it sound like I actually know what I'm talking about. But today we are going to talk about Burn After Reading. I don't feel like it's one of their lesser works, but in a way there's a part of me that does feel that it is kind of one of their lesser works, being that it came out in the wake of No Country for Old Men. So I do feel like it gets looked over. Maybe not as much as some of their films, like some of their black comedies from the early 00s. I'm thinking of movies like The Man Who Wasn't There, for example, which is a very strong film, very great performance by Billy Bob Thornton, and how he never got nominated for an Oscar for that film, I'll never know. Maybe not as lesser known even as the film they released last year, A Serious Man. Again, another kind of a dark comedy. I feel like the Coens do dark comedy well. They do two things well for me. They do kind of thriller or heist films and then dark comedies very well. I like this movie a lot, Burn After Reading, but the basic premise is you've got a core group of characters, a fairly small cast.
Through a miscommunication, everyone thinks, like, the CIA is after them. Several independent storylines go along that all, like, intersect, snowball the miscommunication even further. Even that description doesn't give it justice.
It's very hard to describe what this film is about. Essentially, you've got John Malkovich playing a character by the name of Osborne Cox. He has recently quit the CIA. He was supposed to take some kind of a pay cut or a job change that he was unhappy with. He's a guy like in his early to mid-50s, maybe not quite around retirement age yet. So he quits his job, and his wife, played by Tilda Swinton, she wonders, well, what are you going to do to make money now? Because you're not really at the age where we can retire comfortably. So he decides that he's going to write his CIA memoirs. He was apparently, which he calls his memoirs or something. He was apparently a fairly important CIA agent, like during the 1980s, during the Cold War. So he's got all these stories to tell about spying and espionage in foreign countries, foreign affair, foreign intrigue, things like that. So he wants to write his memoirs. He puts his words to paper, or in this case, he types them up as people do nowadays. And he's got it all on a CD or a disc, whatever it was. And he wants to give it to an editor. He accidentally leaves his memoirs in a gym, where they are found by Frances McDormand and Brad Pitt. Frances McDormand and Brad Pitt then try to blackmail him. They think they've got some real hot government secrets on this disc. What they don't understand is that it's just material for this guy's autobiography. So this somehow involves George Clooney, who is kind of a fly-by-night type of... he's not really a con man, but he lies to women about his manliness. Like, he claims to be like a big-time security guard and has like security clearance and things like that. But what he really likes to do is he likes to sleep with women. So he gets himself involved, coincidentally, with Frances McDormand's character and with Tilda Swinton's character. It's just there's a puzzle kind of going on here. You've got characters going back and forth, thinking they're doing something when in the end what they're doing is not really as big or as important as they think. It's a very, very funny film in places. It's a very smart comedy. Probably why it didn't do as well as some of the other Coen films. It did gross a decent amount, but I feel like it coming in the shadow of No Country for Old Men, which had just won several Oscars, I do feel like it was a bit overlooked when it was first released, and people kind of don't talk about it now.
It was also September, at least in the United States, in September of 08, and September is like just a dumping ground for a lot of movies that didn't make the cut to be like summer movies and didn't quite make the cut to be held till winter, and mostly because a lot of people don't go to movies too much, comparatively speaking, in those other times, and I almost wonder if like that like hurt the film as well.
Yeah, September is a dumping ground, you're right, like, it's usually the lowest point of the year, like the lowest grossing month, probably because the weather is so nice.
Also, the kids are back in school now, and so they're not going out as much.
It's just not a good time for movies. Traditionally, it's always been that way. This film was fairly well reviewed as well, but again, not as well reviewed as some of the Coen brothers' other films. It's kind of considered to be one of their lesser works. Would you agree with that, Nick?
Yeah, I would agree, but that's like saying a painting that Leonardo da Vinci did is not as good as the Mona Lisa. It's still a painting by Leonardo da Vinci.
Right, and the Coens are obviously masters of their craft. I mean, these guys are very brilliant. They've been making great films now for 30 years.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, I mean, their first film came out in like 1984, so they're...
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and so they've been working in Hollywood since the early 80s, so... I want to talk a little bit about the performances of the film, starting with my favorite performance, which is Brad Pitt as the fitness hotshot, Chad Feldheimer. Just Chad is just like the perfect name for a guy who just hangs out in the gym and is a gym rat. And his performance is quite brilliant. And again, I feel like he was robbed of a Best Supporting Actor nod. I mean,
he didn't even get a nomination?
No, he didn't even get a nomination. I don't remember who won it from 2008 because it's Best Supporting Actor. Like, who remembers that? But
person who won it.
Brad Pitt should have definitely been nominated for this performance. I mean, just totally escapes into the character. And I know sometimes people don't give Brad Pitt a lot of credit for being an actor, but I think he's a brilliant actor. I've seen him disappear into roles in the past. I'm talking about movies like Fight Club or 12 Monkeys, where he'll just completely disappear into a role. And I feel like this is one of those times where he does that.
I totally agree. Every time Brad Pitt appeared on the screen, I was just like, I was splitting a gut. Because, like, just be it his facial reactions or how he was saying, or just the fact, like, it always seemed he was, like, on uppers the entire movie. It's just, like, it's so infectious that you can't help but, like the scenes that he's in, and especially like the character.
Heath Ledger actually won it for The Dark Knight. I should have known that. That was actually a pretty strong year for Best Supporting Actor, so I take back what I said about it. But he also works very well with Frances McDormand, who I feel is incredibly underrated as an actress. And I know that she probably doesn't get as much work maybe as some other actresses because she's not pretty in the conventional sense. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you look at some of her filmography, you know, she won an Academy Award for her character in Fargo, which is again another Coen brother movie. She's married to Joel Coen. They've been together forever.
So he just put his wife in the film. I see. No, I'm just being a jerk.
But she's a fantastic actress. She's a great performance in Almost Famous. Great performance in Wonder Boys. A great performance in North Country, which I feel is an underrated film. But just a whole lot of great performances and a pretty great career from her as well. I really like her a lot. I also like Richard Jenkins in this film. I feel like he, too, is underrated as an actor as well. He's a guy that you don't hear a lot about. He's a character actor. Again, not necessarily a very handsome guy. And that's the problem, I guess, with Hollywood. You have to be super good-looking to be well-known as an actor, I guess. But, I mean, just looking at his filmography as well, he was nominated for an Academy Award a while back for a film called The Visitor. But he was also in Step Brothers, which I know people are like, oh God, Will Ferrell. And yeah, I feel the same way too. I have Will Ferrell burnout as well. But damn, Step Brothers is just so dark and so funny, I think. And
I refuse to see that film.
I think that you would like it. I really do.
You know, maybe I've been surprised before. Like, I just saw Get Him to the Greek this weekend, which I amazingly liked, and I actually could stand Jonah Hill in that, but I don't know. My students, when I taught, would not stop quoting that movie, so I kind of have, like, I don't even want to see it now because I'm just so annoyed with it.
Well, you know, I've got a soft spot for dark comedy, as you know, and Step Brothers is a really twisted dark comedy. It's not like what you would think. The first time I watched it, I was kind of like, well, I was like, well, that was not what I expected at all, and in a good way. This cast is just so strong, all the way down to J.K. Simmons, who has only a minor role, but it's just, that guy is just great. And everything that he is in, he's so good. He's the guy that plays J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best things about the Spider-Man movies. But, I mean, he's also in Oz, which I feel like people have forgotten Oz as a show. My brother and I, we love Oz, and I've recently been rewatching the franchise, and it's such a good show, and he's so good in it. But he's also been on Law & Order.
His face has, appeared everywhere. I think there was a period where just not by, choice, but just by chance, that every movie I saw, he wound up being in it.
Well, just looking at his filmography here on the internet, you know, just going back, he's in all these films that have come out recently that have been at least somewhat popular or well known. Up in the Air, Extract, I Love You Man, Juno, where he played Juno's dad, Spider-Man 3. Just so many things here in the past 3-4 years. Thank You for Smoking.
Yeah.
He was on Arrested Development. He's been in so many popular things in the last 3 or 4 years, and that's good. You know, he's a character actor as well.
He's like the white Samuel L. Jackson of the 1990s.
Or the 2010s, really, honestly.
Fair enough.
That guy needs a new agent.
Hey, he's getting work, and I guess it's working for him. If I was Sam Jackson and people offered me movies and money, I'd sign on the dotted line.
Kind of the way you feel about Betty White is kind of the way I feel about Sam Jackson, too.
I'll grant you that.
I feel like he has one signature performance, and that was Pulp Fiction.
And he's been riding on that ever since.
Ever since, yeah. Well, honestly, in my opinion here, the only person who kind of doesn't fit in with this cast, and feel free to disagree with me, is George Clooney. I don't really think he does a very good job in this film. I don't find him particularly believable. He's got some backstory where he and his wife are kind of going through a rough patch. He cheats on her a lot, which I don't believe she knows about. And then I believe that they end up separating towards the end of the film over a mistake as well, over a miscommunication. I don't really buy his performance in this. And just thinking in the last few years, I haven't really seen Clooney in anything that's blown me away.
I've heard good things about The American, which just was released, but I haven't had a chance to see it. But I see what you're saying. Clooney, you know, we were just talking about Sam Jackson. I don't know if you're going to cut that out or not. But Clooney seems to be, playing more or less the same character in every single film. Every movie he's Danny Ocean, or a variation thereof. I just don't know if that's max of his range, or if that's just who he is.
You know, from all accounts, Clooney is an exceptional human being. You know, he does a lot of charity work and things of that nature. I haven't really seen him wow me as an actor, and that's fine. I mean, the guy has had a very long and successful career, and he's like Sam Jackson. He's allowed to pick and choose whatever he wants to do at this point. But I don't really feel like his performance. I feel like he's not quite in on the jokes as much as some of the other characters are. It's just kind of how his character just kind of doesn't fit into to this world for me.
It does seem like he is, of all the other characters, he's the odd man out. I don't know if that was intentional, but I totally see what the only scene that distinctly pops in my mind that I remember with Clooney in it is, I love the paranoid look that comes on his face towards the end of the movie when he thinks Francis McDormand is a government agent trying to get him. when she's not, she says, I don't even remember what she says that makes him think it, but he has this what the hell sort of look, and he just slowly backs away and runs and does not stop looking at her as he runs off.
I feel like John Malkovich in the past few years has had a career renaissance as well, and this has something to do with that. I think Malkovich is brilliant. I know a lot of people that don't like him. My dad watches movies all the time. He watches movies all the time. He doesn't like John Malkovich. I feel like Malkovich is a really strong actor.
John Malkovich, I'm indifferent towards him. I know he's a strong actor, but I'm not indifferent towards him, I guess.
I think he's brilliant in this movie as this kind of put upon ex-CIA agent who really doesn't, he just doesn't matter much in our modern world. He seems to be he's kind of that character whose time has come and gone. Like, he was a big shot during the Cold War, for example, but now he's just kind of a nobody, you know, and that's part of the reason why he got that demotion or that passing over for the promotion at work, just because he just doesn't kind of fit in the way that he used to.
Yeah.
He's got a very short fuse. You know, he'll lash out at people. Just some of the conversations that he has, like over the telephone with Brad Pitt's character, or in the car with Brad Pitt, are just hilarious.
I'll agree with you on that one, yeah. Especially, I got nothing else, sorry. I thought I was going to go somewhere, but not worth it.
I think that this film has three very strong things going for it. The cast, I think, is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the writing is very appropriately dark and funny. And I think that the direction, again, is very strong as well. Smart movies like this, or maybe wildly inventive movies like Scott Pilgrim, just don't necessarily do as well as kind of audience-pleasing, lowest common denominator, look, he got kicked in the balls and fell over type of movies. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, a lot's going on with this film, and if you're not paying close attention, you can get lost in the shuffle because, like, characters are crisscrossing and storylines, and it's really not all put together until that final scene at the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
You finally realize that no one was after
anybody.
At all. And, like, I love, I think it was J.K. Simmons, where he had this, like, shrugging look on his face. He's like, all right, just give them what they want, who cares, and then we'll just put it behind. It's like, it's no big deal, even though, like, two people have been killed, one person's in the vegetable state, and...
It's like no one in the government even gave a shit about any of these things that were going on.
They didn't even know.
And yeah, because they keep going back to J.K. Simmons like two or three times at various points in the film. He's the CIA guy, and people are coming to him and saying like, "Hey, this just happened," and he's like, "Well, keep an eye on it. We're not sure what it means yet. Just keep an eye on it." And at the very end, when they still can't figure it out, the film kind of ends on a punchline, which is maybe a weakness that the film has. Punchline endings tend to either work or fail. There's kind of no in between, and it does kind of just end with kind of a punch to the gut kind of ending, which I can see as a weakness, where he just kind of says, "Well, fuck," and that's kind of the end of the film. You don't really get any closure. You know, George Clooney doesn't get the woman as he would in like an Ocean's 11 type of movie. Your hero characters. Or whether you can call them hero characters or whatever, there is no real clear-cut hero in this. But like your likable characters, like your Brad Pitt's character, who's a likable, albeit stupid guy, you know, get blown away, and
then no one is ever going to know where his remains are at. That's like, I was so, like, when I saw that, I was like, wow, that is so dark for such a likable character.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that the Coen brothers are doing some very dark and subversive things with this.
Oh,
film.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, as an audience, you're obviously supposed to like Brad Pitt's character.
I just love it when George Clooney accidentally shoots him in the face. You see one quick look of, like,
hey.
Brad Pitt, and he's like, he has this, like, goofy grin on his face and just gets blown away.
And he's killed basically as an accident.
Yeah, I did not see that scene coming at all when I when that happened. I was like, my hand went up and covered my mouth, thinking, "Oh my God, did that just happen?"
And when I first saw this movie, and again, you're supposed to like Brad Pitt's character. You're supposed to be a very likable guy in it. Immediately when I saw, knowing that this is a dark comedy, knowing that this is a Coen Brothers film. When I was first introduced to Brad Pitt's character, I knew that there was going to be a big old dead sign hanging around his neck. I knew he was not going to be long for this film. So, Nick, any final thoughts on whatever movie it was? Burn After Reading.
I highly recommend it. It's dark. If you like dark comedies, totally check it out. It's one of those films you just kind of have to stick with to the end to like really appreciate what it's trying to do.
Boy, Joel and Ethan Coen, a couple proud parents there, huh?
What?
I'm just saying their parents must be very proud of them.
Yeah, they made like a bazillion films that either make a hell of a lot of money or get
gigantic flops.
Yeah, but I think when they're flops, they get enough like reviews to like finance another movie which becomes a huge hit. So.
Well, you know what? They're so respected in Hollywood that I feel like at this point they could do whatever. They could make whatever they want. They could be like Steven Soderbergh and make like a 6-hour movie split into two parts about the life of Che Guevara if they really wanted to. You know, they can really just do whatever they want, and they're still going to be respected. At this point, they've earned the right to do what they want. Be sure to check out our blog at cultitorcanit.blogspot.com, where we'll be uploading more podcasts than we have been of late. Make sure to fan us on Facebook page courtesy of Nick Slicer, all rights reserved. So for my co-host,
Nick,
I am your host, Zach, saying thank you for listening to the podcast, and have a better one than we've had.
Cult of Kent does not condone the use of acid. We care.
We do, however, condone the use of speed and cocaine and heroin and euphoria, the fictional drug from 90210. But